Hello, Daniel Browning with you. Welcome to Away, Indigenous Culture on RN. Archie Roach has been walking a hard road since the sudden death in 2010 of his soulmate, Ruby Hunter. Then his own health began to fail. Not long after, while he was working in the outback, he suffered a paralysing stroke and had to spend months in rehab in Perth, learning to walk again. He called it his mishap. Then he was diagnosed with lung cancer and had part of his left lung removed. When you see him nowadays, Archie's wheeling an oxygen tank on a little trolley, just in case. And that's what makes the new album, Into the Bloodstream, such an extraordinary thing of joy. It's an act of perseverance. There are a few different moods on this album. It's touched by gospel and blues, and that deep resonant voice of his wraps around lyrics that are filled with hope and resilience. Archie reckons making this album has been good medicine.
Oh, my body is like this land. This land's the same, and the heartbeat keeps on pumping. Oh, sweet precious life, through your veins.
Archie Roach, welcome back to Away.
Thank you, Daniel. It's good to be here.
The last time we spoke in depth, I mean, we've spoken a few times over the years, but the last time in depth about an album was when you released Journey in 2007. And you were very generous. You performed a few songs off the album for me, and we talked about those songs. We can't, I guess, talk about the new album, Into the Bloodstream, without talking about what's happened. Because it strikes me that although you call the album Journey, that your journey was in some ways just beginning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, looking back, I realise now that it was just the beginning of a bigger journey, yeah.
And, of course, you know, your life has been punctuated by some events, of course, Aunty Ruby passing away, and you know, you've also had a real fight on your hands in terms of your own health. Now, when Aunty Ruby passed away, everyone, their second question was, "How is Archie? How's Archie going to be? How have you been?"
Yeah. I've been well lately, you know, but, you know, the coming through that, when Ruby passed, that was at that time, that was the end of my world, you know, end of the world. You know, I just didn't want to go on, really. I didn't think I'd be still playing music, you know, after that. But now, you know, coming through that and other things, bouts of illness, I think, and doing this album, I feel much better than I did, and looking forward to carrying on, going on.
We did speak, I think, again last year, and you described your stroke. This is the way you said it to me. Oh, my mishap. I had a mishap.
Yeah.
But you had to go through rehabilitation after that stroke. It happened when you were in Western Australia. There was a big journey just with coming to terms with that.
That's right, yeah. We're in the Kimberley, you know, up at Warman, or Turkey Creek, it used to be called. I just got up one morning and I found that I couldn't move the right side, you know, of my body. And I had to learn to... I got a little depressed, I suppose, when I ended up in Perth Hospital. I went to therapy for the first time and realised that I couldn't actually walk. But, you know, it took pretty intensive rehabilitation, you know, to be able to start walking again. And and even playing the guitar, but even simple things like buttoning up a shirt or making a cup of tea. But slowly, I was determined. I remember walking around hospital, without to go to the bathroom or go to the toilet, Aboriginal people, especially Aboriginal men alike, they're too proud. You're supposed to call a nurse and get pushed along on this sort of wheelchair with a toilet seat on it. And I found myself walking from the bed, down to the toilet, nurses be growling at me, say, you should call for a nurse, we push you up on that chair. I said, nah, I'm right. Too proud, but, I was determined to walk again and to play guitar again and to everything else that I suppose we take for granted through the years, before the strike, like buttoning up a shirt, yeah.
Craig Pilkington, the producer of this album, Into the Bloodstream, in his liner notes, he says, well, someone has said, you're a man who lost everything and then lost some more. And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but no. We have these things that we have to talk about, and Aunty Ruby's passing, the stroke, and then when you couldn't possibly take any more, you were diagnosed with lung cancer, and you had part of your lung removed.
I wouldn't have. It's a good thing though, but that we found out when we did, I wasn't. It was on. On Jill Sheldon, my manager, on her recommendation that paid a visit to my doctor up in up at home there, that I have a chest X-ray, just to make sure things were okay. I had a little bit of trouble sort of breathing, and so it was good that we did at the time because they found it early, so. That's a positive thing. I found early enough. The doctors told me on later on that if it went undetected, they probably would have given me a year to live. Yeah, so I was lucky. Yeah, as far as that was concerned, and we got it early enough, and they removed half me. Lobectomy. They removed half my left lung, and that was something else I had to come to terms with it. Yeah. As well, that's another story. Yeah, I asked if I could, as a singer, I'd still be able to sing. And the doctor said, nah. There was a tuba player that I took one whole lung, mind you, one complete lung, and she's back playing tuba in the orchestra. So I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. I only got half a lung taken, so I should be singing all right. Yeah. That's what made me think. I said, well, if the human spirit, I think that's what you really, really tap into. Even though I have through the years believed in spirit and my spirit and the human spirit in general, when you go through something like this, you really, embrace that and hold on to that the human spirit can get you through anything, really. Yeah.
Is getting too rough, it's been too hard, too long, and you just want to give up, cause you've had enough, but oh, you've got to be strong.
I was thinking about this, and I went through something similar. I mean, not my partner, but my mother. And when she died, people were saying, oh, you know, it's a process, you know. Grief is a process. Mm. When I reckon it's actually more than that. Sometimes it's physical, and you don't know when it's going to hit you, and you could be doing something completely unrelated and not even have thought about it for, you know, a day or two, and then, bang, you just get, I don't know, it hits you.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with that grief of the loss of Aunty Ruby?
Music has been a big help. Getting into music again, being able to play again and sing and write again. But you know, talking to friends, you know, and older people, elders that I know, or older cousins and people, and you know, it's reassuring, you know, people are. I remember we were talking about Uncle Jim Little, you know. Uncle Jimmy Little, and see, he gave me a lot of strength when Ruby passed, and he was such a beautiful, wise old man, Uncle Jimmy Little, and he'd always say things to me, you know, and he loved Ruby too, and he said, you know, she's not very far away at all, you know, she's really close, and. And just remember that, you know, that she, you know, she didn't really go anywhere. It's just like a door or a glass door. You might see this glass door or glass window, you know. You just can't go through there yet, only when your time comes. But they're just there on the other side of that glass door or the other side of that door. And when the time comes, you'll be able to walk through that door. And things like that really helps, words from other people.
There's a song on this new album, Mulyawonk.
Yeah, Mulyawonk is that's a word, or that's a word in Ruby's language, the Nunjeri people of South Australia, the Murray River and the Coorong. It's their word for water spirit or water guardian of the river. I wrote that, you know, nearly 10 years ago now, and it was demoed for one other album that we did, Sensual Being, and but you know, it never made it on that album, and I think it was left, and my friend Craig Pilkington, who produced this latest album, Into the Bloodstream, he had those old demos left, and he reminded me that there were a couple of songs that never made it onto Sensual Being, and one of them was Mulyawonk. I think it means more today because of Ruby's passing than it did back then, I think. And it talks of the Mulyawonk, the water guardian, the river guardian, of the Ngunnawal peoples calling Ruby back to the river.
Was a little girl. She never stood a chance, but she grew up and rose above her circumstance. She picked up her family, helped them to get well. Husband saved him from his hell. And the voice of the Mulyawonk is calling him. Yeah, the voice of the Mulyawonk is calling him. Thank you.
sunshine. There's rainbows in the sky. Oh, we gotta be happy now. No need to cry. And Ruby of the River, fulfills her destiny. This woman is a keeper. Yeah, she holds the key. And the voice of the Mulyawam is calling. Yeah, the voice of the Mulyawam is calling. It's calling.
The river is a real, it runs through the songs, isn't it? Because there's, you've also done a new version of Wash My Soul and Let It Flow. And when talking about Ruby, we were often taken back there when her grandfather held her up to the moon he rubbed her in rabbit gut. Or rubbed her in the ashes.
Rubbed her in warm ashes or cold ashes. And she always used to say she was just like a little rabbit cooked in the ground. That's in that song,
And the Coorong, of course, where Ruby grew up.
Mm.
This is also a theme in your music too. I mean, when you've written songs about Ruby, you go back to that place too.
Well, I think the river is very important to me. Not knowing when I was, taken away from my family, not really knowing how important the river was to me. We lived in the Goulburn Valley in Victoria. Up on the riverbank there, just outside of Shepparton. When I was a baby, me, mum, dad, and brothers and sisters, we lived on the riverbank. My father comes from the Northern Rivers in New South Wales, a Bundjalung man, and he grew up on the Clarence River, the Clarence Valley. And where Mum comes from, the Hop down in southwest Victoria, the Hopkins River flows through there, and so river, I think is so much a part of who I am, and so and Ruby, of course, the Murray River, so the river just carries all these stories, I think. Yeah.
Now, as I said, you've done new versions of Little by Little.
And yeah, that's right.
Wash My Soul in the River's Flow.
Mm.
Why those two songs in particular? Because you could have covered, you could have gone back to any song from your back catalogue.
Yeah, well, I think, because this album was probably the first album that we've had a bit of direction. We actually had direction where we wanted this album to go, whereas previous albums were just a collection of songs that I'd written that seemed to work together. But I think the direction that we wanted to take with this album was more of a soul and gospel type feel. And those two songs, Little by Little and Wash My Soul, they lend themselves to, they sort of like fit into that genre of gospel or gospel songs, yeah. So, so we were lucky enough to be able to re-record them, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Into the Bloodstream. Tell us about why you chose that title.
Into the Bloodstream is just like, you know, thinking of the land and the body, you know, the human body being the same, and the river, you know, rivers. The rivers are like, you know, arteries and veins. They're like the rivers of life. Like the arteries and veins that run through your body, that's the rivers and the waterways are the arteries and the veins of this country, of this earth. And so, you know, thinking about that and knowing that, you know, if the rivers or the waterways, those veins and arteries of the land, if they get clogged up, you know, well, we know what happens to the human body when our arteries and that become too clogged up and polluted, you know, or too thick. We have, of course, a stroke or a heart attack. And the same thing with the land, you know. If we don't look after, if we don't ensure that the rivers and the land isn't well looked after, and the rivers, this country, the earth, will have a massive heart attack, stroke, which could, you know. And so I think that's what I, Into the Bloodstream is, it's not just about that, it's about, you know, making sure that, you know, if you look after the land, that, And the rivers, you'll also, the body will be taken care of, yeah, or the people, yeah.
And in that song you talk about, my body's like the land, I'm paraphrasing here, but you say in the end of the first part of the song, oh sweet precious life through your veins, it keep my heartbeat keeps on pumping, oh sweet precious life through your veins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And life is precious.
Oh, yeah.
We forget that, don't we?
Yes, yes.
And I guess that's what, if you've been on a journey and what you've learned, if you needed to learn it, was that how precious that was.
Exactly. It's, you don't, I think, not many people, are, you know, I could be wrong, but I think not, you know, I don't think many people actually think about life or their own mortality, you know, until something, you know, threatens that, you know, and so you sit back and reassess and take a good look and realise that life is so precious, you know, I just feel so fortunate that I'm here, and every day I'm grateful that I'm able to breathe and you know, smell the flowers and breathe the air and just enjoy life, yeah.
This is Away Indigenous Culture on RN. If you've just tuned in, you're with me, Daniel Browning, and I'm with Archie Roach, who's returned with a superb new album, Into the Bloodstream. As a singer-songwriter, do you ever feel that you've sung every song? And I know that when you were in rehab after the stroke, you questioned whether you, and after Aunty Ruby, questioned whether you could go on with this thing that you've been doing all these years.
Mm. Yeah.
As a singer-songwriter, did you ever think, no, I actually don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah, I thought, I said, you know, I really don't want to. I didn't feel that I wanted to or needed to do this anymore. And I'm not quite sure what I was going to do, but, you know, I just said that's it for me. I finished, you know. Yeah, so, somehow, somewhere, you know, I managed to. I think realizing, going through what I did, you know, this was before I had the stroke, and was diagnosed with lung cancer. But after coming through that, you know, and realizing how, you know, that life is precious, I think, you know, that, and Ruby as well, you know, she wouldn't have wanted me to. I know now that she. So that because if it was, you know, like I said many times before, I said, if it wasn't for Ruby, I wouldn't even be doing this recording or singing. Because, you know, I remember, you know, before we did Charcoal Lane, I said, nah, I don't really want to do this. Mum, as I called Ruby, I said, nah, I don't want to do this. It's you know, if it gets off, people will want to know, you know, my business and stick their nose into my business. And so I said, nah, I don't think it's a good idea to do an album and tempt that sort of, intrusion into my life. And Ruby looked at me and said, it's not all about you, Archie Roach. I can still hear in my head, in my ear, that voice. And she was right, you know. It wasn't just about me, especially if you're an Aboriginal person, you know. Because, you know, I always know that when you know, you look at our sporting heroes and other singers like Uncle Jimmy and others that have gone on before, that we've looked up to and been our heroes, and they've given us strength, you know, given us strength and that's what it's about too, as well, you know. You know, especially if you're an Aboriginal person, it's not just about yourself. If one of us shines, we all shine, and that's the beauty of it, you know. And that's what she meant. And perhaps open doors or just leave doors, maybe not, just leave doors ajar, you know, for other people to come through. Yeah. So she's still talking in my ear, you know. It's still not just about you, Arch, you know.
I know exactly what you mean, and I couldn't agree more. You have certainly left the door ajar. You've more than done that. You've left that door wide open for people like Dan Sultan, and a lot of our young singer songwriters wouldn't be where they are doing what they're doing without you. Songwriting is a bit like, I think, and you talked about this, about, you know, opening your heart and the kind of intrusive nature even of this process, of this what we're doing now. You know, I'm sat over here interviewing you. It can be an invasive thing. And but writing a song too is like opening your heart.
Exactly. It's. I think that's, you know, I used to sing a lot of songs, you know, that I started writing and that, you know, just for my family and community, you know. And that's as far as I wanted to go. And it's like you're opening. Yeah, you open your heart or burying your soul, you know, and you're not sure if you want too many people to have access to that, you know. But I think, you know, that's the thing about, especially being a songwriter and singer-songwriter, is that. You know, the songs are that important to you, but you know, I think I had a cousin said to me one time, you know, I actually told her, I said one time, I said, losing Ruby and before getting sick, you know, I said, I might give this away just to have a break. And he said, you know, well, so what are we going to do then? You know, I said, what do you mean? I said, well, we take pleasure. And them songs mean a lot to us too. And that opened my eyes again to something else, you know. The songs do mean a lot to you. The songs do mean a lot to me, you know. But when you're able to be generous enough to share that with other people, then you realise that means a lot to them too. And she was saying, don't be so selfish, you know. And that was a good thing to be able to tell me, and it made me realise that, you know, you can't be greedy or selfish with your own art or your own music. You have to share it with other people, so if they enjoy it, they may be able to enjoy it too. Yeah.
When you are down and you're feeling lonely, you just got to breathe. You got to believe. Just get up off the ground. You know you're not the only one down on your knees, asking to be free from all your pain. Well, come on, everybody. You got a song to say.
Got a song to sing.
Oh, I know everybody. Just let it rain.
Got to let it rain.
Oh, come on, everybody. You got a song to sing.
There's a song on here, Song to Sing, and you're backed by a gospel choir, you know, brought together by Lou Bennett, you know, there's Shantae Batsky, Emma Donovan, Uncle Jack Charles even,
Benny
Walker, and James Henry, and my cousin John Wayne Parsons.
Yeah.
Tell me about that song. It's a real, such an uplifting song.
Yeah, it's one of the songs that we actually wrote in the studio. It's about everybody, you know. It's like everybody's got a story, you know, and they've got a song to sing, you know. And if we were, you know, if we all had the opportunity to share that and do that, then it'd be great, you know. But I think when you're down, you know, or when you're not feeling the best, you know, a music or a song, you know, can bring you out of that, you know. Even when you're feeling good, you know, even on top of the world, you know, a music or a song can reflect that as well, you know. So I think it talks about the beauty of music and song to be able to sort of, you know, help you rise above or even celebrate life, you know, or rise above problems in life that you may have or how you feel, but also to celebrate life as well. So that's what that song's really about, I think. And it was great doing it with the choir, with Lou and everybody else. A young girl from Jabiru, Veronica Welling, Big Dave Lahar, Radical Son. Yeah, it was good. John Wayne Parsons,
Derek Gill, former colleague, former ABC colleague. Derek
Gill. He's there. We did a video clip for this song up in Old Church Hall in Southwest Victoria, where I live. And Derek lives in Warrnambool now, which is just up the road from me. And him and his wife took part in the video clip that we done, and it's a hope you get a chance to see that, because it's just a special clip.
Now, you're living in Killarney, which is southwest Victoria, not mm-hmm. far from Warrnambool.
Yeah.
You were in Berry for a while in the Riverland.
That's right, yeah, in South Australia.
You moved over here, moved back to southwest Victoria a few years ago now, didn't you?
Yeah, it was... we moved back in 2009 mm. and... Was it just, I don't know, mid-2009 or just late or before Christmas in 2009? Because that's where I'm from. My mother comes from that part of the world, and so it was good to go. We had an opportunity to acquire a house down there, and so it was good. It was good to be able to get back there, yeah.
I went down to Framlingham this time last year with Vicky Cousins.
Oh, right.
And she showed me, we went to the mission, we went to the cemetery.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We went to Hopkins Falls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
And she described how the little glass eels in Gunditjmara, it's tongue and punnet. Yeah. You know, your eels bite the stones because the eels will climb up the face of the falls
to get
back to their breeding ground.
That's right. They travel all the way across, the sea, across from Vanuatu.
Mm.
And they're a little glass creature, the eels, and they travel all that way and go up the Hopkins Falls and go up the Hopkins River into a place called Lake Bolac. In my mother's country, which is Japurong country, part of the Gunditjmara peoples, and that's where they go to spawn, and it's a great story. That I love that story. Yeah.
Who would believe it? It sounds so unlikely, but it's true.
Yeah.
Now another song of mine, which. Has become a favourite, is Big Black Train. Now, I thought, this is a little bit frightening, this song.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not a good,
It's cautionary, isn't it?
It's a cautionary, so it's a warning. It's a song, it's a song that just warning us and young people in particular, not to go in a certain direction or jump on that this train, you know, because it just takes you to rack and ruin, you know. I don't know. I just started thinking about a train song, because Troy Cassidaly and Paul Kelly, you know, they wrote a song, every now and then, the train song and other people, And I thought I'd write one, but I didn't really know it was going to take the direction that it did, this train. But yeah, it ended up like that, and it became a cautionary tale, and just to be careful what you do in life, and you could end up, on the wrong train or the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah.
There's a collaboration too with Paul Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And with Emma Donovan. Can we talk about Hush Now Babies? Emma Donovan is the guest vocalist on this song.
Yeah, yeah.
And listening to these two mighty voices kind of weaving in and out of each other. There's a beautiful harmony there.
Yeah, there is. It's, I love young Emma. She's
she's amazing, isn't she?
Well, she should be. She's starting to get recognition now and become known. And hopefully, she's one of our great young soul divas, I reckon, of this country.
Now I'm a man. Now I am grown. I've got these lovely children of my own. I remember Mama's words today. Oh, Mama said, hush now, babies, don't you cry. Things look better by and by. Dry your eyes and don't look blue. Said, there's not much for mom or dad, 'cause come what may, there's plenty here for you. Ah, come what may, there's plenty here for you.
I wrote that song a while back too, and it was only I did it for this documentary called Best Kept Secret, which was way back in when Chalky Lane came out, and I just thought, that was a song that I'd actually written a while back, but I remember it. I remember this song, and we had a chance to be able to get hold of that old documentary and have a look at it again, and I remember Jill hearing it. I said, that's a lovely song. What's that one called? I said, Hush Now Babies. Yeah, and it's about, because I remember singing it when Emma sang it. She came out and she said, I love that song. That reminds me of my grandmother. Emma would say, but it's just talking about the sacrifice that a lot of mothers and parents and mothers in particular made for they went without, for the children. They usually go without food so that the children could eat. That's what the song was about, yeah.
Top of the Hill.
Top of the Hill, yeah. It's another song about, just persevering, just no matter what obstacles or how far or how high, they may be, whatever, in life's journey, you're going to get there if you just keep at it, and try not to be disheartened, but, you're going to get there one day, just keep going. So that's pretty much what that song's really about. We wrote that in the studio too, another studio-written song. Thinking about what other songs can we put on this album, and that was sort of they were coming along, and that song in particular did that. That was just done completely. I had no idea until we got to the studio and started thinking about, you know, songs to put on this album, and that one just came to us. Yeah.
This morning, when I was thinking about you and thinking about this interview, the word perseverance came into my mind, and we think that perseverance is like, oh, you have a bad day, but you know, you persevere. But you know, you actually give meaning to that word because you have persevered, and more than that, you know, you've delivered this new album. So it's an act of perseverance, just getting this album out.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, you know, that it was, like I said, when we went in to do it, you know, I was just thinking of sitting down with, first thing we did with Craig, you know, so he said, well, what songs do you have? I said, well, I don't know, not many really at the moment. And I started, I just went in and started singing a couple of songs that we had, you know, little by little, that was already there, and a song that didn't make it on there, unfortunately, but it was a good song, called "Cradle of Life." But that might have another life somewhere else. Like, as songs have proven to me, do you know, they can have another life somewhere else. But so it just slowly, you know, and Craig was patient, and we slowly worked and got songs together for the album. And the process of recording, you just go in and do a guide track, you know, and then they bring a band in. So we brought a band in with drums, keyboard, bass, you know, and Craig playing some guitar. They started to take shape, and I felt, you know, we were getting there, you know, and just, you know, so it was a great process, and it was a great, you know, as the album started to take shape, you know, I started to feel better, not just about doing the album, but better in myself. So as the album started to progress and take shape, I was getting better each day, each time we went in there. So it was a wonderful process of healing, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the album Into the Bloodstream is a triumph in so many ways. You know, I didn't think there was another Archie Roach album.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, and you know, we weren't sure, you know, I suppose it could have been, you know, losing Ruby in the last couple of years and getting sick, you know, and it could have been a totally different album than it is to the one we have here, Daniel. You know, it could have been really, really dark and somber, you know, and just full of pain and misery. But it turned out to be something completely different. And I'm thankful and grateful for that, yeah.
This album is a thing of joy. Archie Roach, so glad to see you back in the studio and see you singing and doing the things that you love, and great for you to be so generous again with your time here on Away.
Nah, it's always good to see you, Daniel. You know, you're one of my all-time favourites. People to talk to on radio.
So kiss your mother tonight, hold your father tight, and keep your family near. Perhaps one day they might slowly fade out of sight. Just reflections in those tears. Won't you walk with me, darling? Just a couple of miles. Won't you tell me the stories of when I was
Mission Road.
The last track off the album, Into the Bloodstream. The songs you heard were in order, Into the Bloodstream, Top of the Hill, Mulyawonk, Little by Little, Song to Sing, Hush Now Babies and Old Mission Road. And Archie is performing at the Australasian Worldwide Music Expo in Melbourne on Thursday, the 15th of November, where he'll officially launch the new album in the Playhouse at the Arts Centre Melbourne. For now, that's all we have time for. I'm Daniel Browning. Join me again next Saturday evening after the 6 o'clock news and in Evening Arts on Tuesday night at 9:05. I look forward to your company then.